So how are you this morning? Good? Anybody hungry? Okay, we have some folks over. Me? Okay, hungry? How many of you have eaten already? How many of you had breakfast this morning? Okay. And how many of you are going to have breakfast afterwards? And how many of you that are going to have breakfast afterwards are going to go out? Ah, okay. All right, very good. So, and this is probably something that you do every week when you get together. Something that Judy and I do, if she comes to one of the morning services, you'll find us down at the Brandywine. And I'm not pushing a restaurant. It's just a place that we found that we enjoy. So we go down there. Last night, Judy was here for services, and so we ended up down at the steakhouse, the Rio Grande, after service. So some of you truly... I don't know whether you realize that you're doing this, but when you don't eat beforehand, you are taking literally that understanding of breaking the fast. And the fast that is broken is when we take in the bread and the body and blood of Christ. That's where this all comes from. But, you know, my guess is those of you who haven't eaten yet are probably going to be thinking at some point in time, or your stomach's going to be growling and saying, feed me, feed me. Or you might be thinking about what it is that you're going to be having. And for those of you who have already eaten, there is that sense that when we eat, we kind of, particularly at lunchtime, it kind of hits us in a way that I think there's something to the South American culture about the siesta and the need to just take a little break, because all of a sudden you feel like you're getting a little, you know, a little lazy, a little dozy, and you just want to nod off for a few moments and kind of get yourself collected again. Well, today we have been shared with two stories about being fed. One is the Old Testament reading, story that we're very familiar with, about Moses and the people and their complaining. And I just, you know, it's kind of one of those things of how short memories we have as people. You know, they had been in bondage for 400 years. Moses gets them out of bondage, and God does that through Moses. Moses leads them into the wilderness. And now that they're in the wilderness, they're saying, how are we going to get fed? Wasn't it much better that we were at least getting food for our bellies when we were enslaved by the Egyptians? And you see how quickly we forget things? And so they were muttering against Moses, they were muttering against God, and they were complaining. You know, where are we going to get this food to eat? Where are we going to, you know, be sustained? And so God hears their cry, and he says to Moses, this is what's going to happen. So and that evening, the ground was filled with quails that had come into the camp, and so they had their fill of the proteins that are necessary for us to live. And the next day, they found in the morning that there was manna, the stuff that settled in after the dew, and they were able to eat it. But you know, in those days, they spent a considerable amount of their time looking for their food. It wasn't like you and I who can say, oh, I think today we'll just go down to the restaurant, we'll grab something to eat. Or that, you know, we can go to the refrigerator, take a couple of steps, pull out whatever it is you want. You know, oh, have a couple of eggs, maybe some bacon, you know, toast. Have some jam on that. And we sit down and we eat. We have this convenience of having others who have prepared this food for us. For them, they spent a considerable amount of their time looking for things to eat, to gather up, to grow things, and to harvest it themselves, and then to do the whole process. The only way that they could preserve food was either to salt it, as in meats, fishes, those kinds of things, or they could dry it. And that was the only way that they could preserve things. They didn't have fruitcake back in those days, okay? How many of you like fruitcake? A few of you. But you know that stuff will last forever, right? I mean, they mail it to you, and it feels like a brick that's coming to you, you know? And the interesting thing about that is, again, let me ask another question. How many of you who have been married have had put your cake for the first year? Did you take a piece and save it in the freezer? Did you do that? Did it taste as good after a year? No way. No, something happens to it over time, and it just doesn't stay as good as it was the first day that you had it. And the reason being is that people took a tradition back in the old days, because what they used for traditional wedding cake was, guess what? Fruit bread, fruit cake. That's what they used. And even the last royal wedding, that was the traditional cake that they shared. Because you know what? You could tuck that stuff away. You don't even have to freeze it. It'll still be good. And they didn't have that in those days. So when Jesus is speaking about having this bread that will last forever, he's not talking about fruitcake. He's talking about himself. And when the people, last week we heard about how he fed the multitude with the bread and the fishes and there was plenty left over, they begin looking for him and they're searching for him as the gospel begins today. And the reason for that is, as Jesus explains, you're coming to look for me not because I am the Son of God, but because you want bread. Here's an easy out. You know, let's just follow him around. He's going to feed us. You know, he's going to give us whatever we want. So what kind of crazy thing is he going to do today? Maybe he's going to have some good wine. No, we heard that story about the wedding at Cana. He turned water into wine. Maybe we'll see that happen. Or maybe we'll multiply more loaves and we'll be satisfied. And so our minds begin to be focused on what the immediate need is, and that is to eat. To eat. And that's easy for us to do. We all come here at different stages of where we've been in the morning, you know, whether we've eaten before or we'll eat afterwards. But those of you who have eaten in the morning already, you're going to be thinking about lunch, okay? And those of you who haven't, you're going to be thinking about breakfast. But Jesus is saying, here I am. Now, can you imagine saying to your friends and neighbors, and you invite them to come to St. Luke's, and you say, come, we have a feast every Sunday. And that's literally what we proclaim, that today is a feast day. It is a day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But you tell them you're going to come and have a feast with us. And when they come and they hear the word and then they come forward and they receive a small piece of bread and just a little glass of wine, they're going to say to you, this is a feast? Where's the roast beef? Where's the cheese? Where are the crackers? How about a little baguette? And you're going to say, no, but this feast is different. It is not just a feast that fills you physically. It is a feast that fills the heart. It is a feast that fills the soul. It is a feast that nourishes us and nurtures us so that we are able to leave from this place knowing that we have Christ within us and that we can proclaim his message to the rest of the world. Now, granted, that's kind of hard for people to hear who are hungry every day. And so we know that Jesus spends a considerable part of his ministry feeding and nurturing and caring for others, the sick. He heals and he has compassion on them. He even has compassion on the crowds that gather after him, as we've heard in the previous gospel readings, where after all, he needs his rest too, but yet he still shares his love and the grace of God with those who come to him. Today, maybe you come because it is a tradition in the family that you come to church first and then go eat. Or maybe it is that you have breakfast and then you come to church and then there is something that you do or you have plans for the rest of the day. Whatever it is, but hopefully the thought is that you come because you wish to be fed by the Word of God. The true bread from heaven, the bread that provides life for us. You know, as I get older, and actually this was happening to me much younger, that is, you ever, you know, walk into a room in the house and with the purpose of doing something, and the next thing you realize you forgot what it is? Now, I did that about a year ago, and I'd said something to the congregation as I was sharing this, didn't even recall what it was at the moment, and here of all things, I was looking for a memory stick for the computer. That's pretty ironic, isn't it? You know, we forget sometimes what it is that we do here in this place, and we forget sometimes that we are a people of compassion and love because this is what God has done for us. Unfortunately, out there in this world, there is a tremendous amount of judgment, not only coming from those who are not of the Christian faith, but even from Christian churches who are quick to point fingers and to say, you don't belong here, we don't want you to be here. Or we may smile and nod at them, but the reality is inside we're saying, they shouldn't be here. And yet that's not the way that Jesus treated the people. That is not the way in which Jesus reached out. And when we hear Jesus speak of that you do not come to seek a sign, you're not looking for a sign, but just simply food to be fed, that word sign is unique in the Gospel of John because there are seven signs that John lifts up. Matthew, Mark, and Luke call them miracles. But for John, they are means of pointing to Jesus as the Son of God. They are ways of it's almost like a neon light that just kind of points to Jesus saying, here he is, here he is. And yet people don't get it. They don't see how that sign is God's grace come to us in the form of Jesus Christ. And they are lost. And that sign proclaims to us this day that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. And even when we gather together in a few moments around this table and we receive that little bit of bread and we drink that little bit of wine, that's all that's necessary. And for some of you, maybe you cannot drink the wine. Maybe, you know, for some reason you cannot eat the bread. It doesn't matter whether you receive only one or the other, but you still receive Christ. This truly is a feast today in which we are fed. And Jesus' response to the people who say to him, you know, show us what work we must do in order to receive this bread that will satisfy us forever. What work must we do? And Jesus turns it around and says, it's not the work that you do. Because whatever it is that we do in humanness, which means it's always something that's connected with sin. As good intentions that we have, as best that we think we can do things, we still fall by the wayside. That's why it's very, very difficult for me to place judgment on others, because all I have to do is look at myself. The work that we do is not what gains us the insight to this bread of life. It is the work in which God has done before us. It is the work of God who opens our hearts and our minds to Jesus. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, as Luther has explained to us over and over again, and we remind ourselves through the catechism, that there is nothing that we can do in order to be saved. But it's all God's doing. And it's all God through the Holy Spirit that opens our hearts and our minds to who this Jesus is. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that helps us to see indeed Jesus being the bread of life that feeds us forever. And we will be lost no more. Oh, I still will probably be short in memory at some points in my life. And indeed, every day, my stomach will growl and say, feed me, feed me. But the one thing that I know that I have that cannot be taken from me is this bread of life and this water that never ends. That I am sustained through the grace of God, through his love, through his forgiveness, and through his healing. And as he has shared that with me, then I am called to do for others. Not because I need to work for this, but because I choose to do it out of my love and in thankfulness to God for giving us the bread of life. So you get your basic food groups each and every day, but on Sunday, you also receive Christ. And that's a free gift, and it's yours forever. Take it and share it with those in whom you encounter in this upcoming week. And know, in spite of everything that goes on, when things kind of turn a different, go in a different direction in the road, or that there are those valleys that we walk through, that bread of life will sustain you through those moments. And you will not be hungry, for God will tell you, I am there. be fed. You've been fed with the word. In a few moments, you'll be fed with the bread and wine. You'll be fed with Christ. That's all you need for your spiritual life. Come and receive. Amen.